Okay, so once again, let me thank Jeff for taking time out of his busy schedule and ask again for that you would all lift him up in your prayers, and that we'd also lift ourselves up that we might hear the words that the Lord has given to Jeff. So with that, I give you Elder Jeff Oldham.
Well, good morning. Thank you, brother. I appreciate your words. Definitely, I have to apologize for not being available recently. It's been definitely busy times, but no doubt there's never we should never forget about we have to make time for the Lord, and I apologize for not being here. Fortunately, as our travels have gone, it's given us the opportunity. We've been back to Independence several times, and my family's in Phoenix this weekend, so over the next couple weeks they get to spend there and attend church there. So that's exciting for them, and glad that we have that chance. I actually had the chance to dial in towards the end of last week's sermon. Trent and I were driving back from an activity, and we both had a chance to dial in, and we put it on mute so everyone wouldn't hear all the road noise, but really was a blessing, and I really enjoyed our brother's sermon last week, and I really learned something from my brother Mike last week, and really it was he got some really good interaction with everyone, and Benny in his comments talked about the virtual pulpit, and I had to smile with that because it truly is a virtual experience, I guess, in essence, that we have here, but truly an opportunity nonetheless to spend this time focused with our Heavenly Father, spend this time focused on Him. And so from the lesson that I learned from my brother Mike last week, I'm going to ask for some interaction. I'm going to ask for some help in reading. I am probably, just to tell you where my heart and head is right now, is as our brother Benny said, is really getting focused or trying to get prepared for the upcoming camp. And so I guess that means, fortunately or unfortunately for you, you get to hear some of the things that I'm thinking through right now and giving a lot of thought to. So I'm going to ask definitely ask for an interest in your prayers as the camp is quickly approaching, and no doubt we want the Lord to be there with us as well, too, as today I would ask that for your interaction and your involvement and your help in some of the readings that I want to bring to you. I've been thinking a lot about David. David as a young man, probably where I'm more focused and thinking a lot of the story of David and Goliath. And I think it's no doubt it's an awesome story. It's a neat story. More importantly, it's a story of, I guess, in simple terms in my mind, is it's a story of a young man, a young person who accomplishes great feats in his life. No doubt David is as we all know the story, and we're going to go back in and read some of this, but David, who was the son of Jesse, he was a shepherd for his father's flocks, and as a shepherd, there are a couple times where we read about and we learn of the story, at least we're going to read today, where David recounts his dealings with a lion, his dealings with a bear, as a very young man, a man who was strong in the Lord, a man who was chosen by God, a young man who was chosen by God. And I think of the story of David, and I think of that story often of a young person who is able to accomplish a lot. And no doubt the Lord was with David. And really my prayer is always that as young people in our church and as young people grow up in the Lord and grow up in their experiences in life, that they would grow up with that same strength. That they would grow up with that same, really we're going to read in where David was really chosen by God. And my prayer is that the young men and the young women of our church continue to have that strength and that continue to have that comforting spirit, that protection from our Heavenly Father with them in their lives. So I'd ask everybody to turn to 1 Samuel, and we're going to go to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. And because I'm biased, I guess, maybe, or because I want this really, this sermon for me, or at least this time that we have, in thinking about the youth, I'm going to ask some of the youth who are on to help me read this and help me go through some of this. So I'm going to ask for a volunteer. I won't point anybody out like I probably would at camp, and I won't pick on anybody other than just anybody that would virtually raise their hand or, I guess in simple terms, open their mouth and say, yep, I'll read this. And I want to start at the 16th chapter, starting at the first verse. And I'm going to go through, I want to go through 13. So if I could just ask somebody to read 1 through, let's say through the end of 5.
This is Benny. I'll read this.
Okay.
And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice.
Okay, thank you, Benny. I appreciate that. You know, right here, just in the very beginning of this chapter, and really here, is that the Lord has a plan, and we know that. We understand. We may not completely understand what that plan is, but we know that when the Lord sets out, and in this example here, the Lord is setting out a plan. He talks about a king among the people, and the Lord is really, as he's talking to Samuel here, he says, Samuel, I have a responsibility for you. And that many times in our lives, we don't know what that Lord's plan is. We don't know what the Lord's will is. But we pray often that the Lord's will be done. That through the Lord, that experience, whatever that expectation that he has, whatever that direction that he has, that our minds are open and that our hearts are open to listen to that. And I think the lesson for me as I continue to go through this and as I continue to think about this is that all too often, am I opening my heart? Am I opening my mind and listening to that which the Lord has for me? I can tell you, just like, you know, as we see in all of our lives, we live very busy lives. You know, we live in very virtual lives, right? There's probably not a minute going down the road that if we don't think about something, how quick and easy is it for us to pick up the phone and get engaged on something? And that you know, sometimes I like yesterday morning I had a chance. I drove down and met our sister Carrie and John Geyer halfway between here and Independence early yesterday morning to pick up Curtis, and Curtis flew down with Michelle and the boys to Phoenix. And so had about an hour and a half drive before I picked up Curtis, and I turned the radio off. It was early in the morning, so my phone wasn't going. So it was that chance. It was that solitude. It was that opportunity that we have to just cut things out of our lives and focus on that meditation or that time with the Lord. And that all too often we probably forget about that. All too often our lives are very plugged in, you know. I mean, my own kids, you know, it's rare that I see them without either their phone in their hand or their iPod in their hand when they're going around the house, because we're tuned in, we're engaged in the world and the life around us. But are we listening to that will of the Lord? Are we listening to that direction? So I'd ask somebody to pick up there at the 6th verse, and we're going to read the 6th verse through the 13th verse. Can somebody do that for me?
I'll do it.
Okay.
And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. For the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. If a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen thee. And Samuel said unto Jesse, And hear all thy children. He said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy and all of beautiful countenance, and goodly looked to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David, and the day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah.
Okay, thank you very much for that reading. And again, it is, as I read through this, and as we think about these verses from 6 through 13, as we read, is you really think about kind of the importance of this. Now, so many times throughout the Bible and really throughout the Book of Mormon, you know, clearly we understand that firstborn is typically that first one, that highest of responsibility, that highest of calling, that first birthright of the one who is, in essence, the leader of the family when the father passes. But many times, and two big examples that stand out is right here, is this example of David. You know, his older brothers passed by Samuel. Passed by Samuel multiple times, and Samuel knew that those were not the appointed ones. Knew that those were not the ones that had that calling of the Heavenly Father. Much like the example is when we think about Nephi. And another great example in multiple stories as we go through within the Book of Mormon, as we think about that calling and that responsibility that Nephi had. Right? Laman and Lemuel were the older brothers. Laman and Lemuel were the ones that struggled very much with their younger brother being the one that was chosen by God. Struggled very much that their father looked to Nephi as the spiritual leader within the family. And the older brother struggled with that. No doubt a great example for us, and what really stands out to me is that clearly it is the calling of the Lord. It's the will of the Lord that we can assume, right, and we can make a lot of assumptions that we know what the direction is. We know what is the will of the Lord, and we know that, you know, as I look upon my own boys, and I'm sure as you look upon your families around you, you know, we have a lot of thoughts and expectations. You know, of course, you know, I look upon my kids and I say, sure, they're going to be, you know, whatever expectation I have or whatever thought I have that we all want greatness for our kids. We all want great things for each of them. But no doubt, you know, definitely our direction is, or at least my hope is that we are each on our knees at night, that we are praying and asking the Lord that His will be done in their lives, that His will be done for our nieces and our nephews and our grandchildren and our loved ones all around us, that it doesn't matter what the distance is. It doesn't matter that we live on a Sunday morning in a virtual world as we dial in to this call. We're very thankful for it and thrilled that we have the opportunity for this. But no doubt, there is no breakdown in communication between us and the Lord. And that clearly, you know, here Samuel is seen and Samuel is stepping out in the will of the Lord. And where we're going to move to next is clearly we understand why. Clearly we understand that David is chosen by God, and we see that here. And the foundation in my mind, or the foundation of the story, is now laid, is that Samuel proceeded on from doing the will of the Lord and understanding that clearly he had a calling for David and that he was working through Samuel on this. So turn with me, and I want to go now to the 17th chapter. And I want to read, I really want to read the first through the 50th verses here. And so I know this is a long reading, but clearly, this is a reading that I think that really stands out and really is one that's good for us. You know, this is a story that we know. This is a story that we've studied as children in the Bible school. This is a story that we've studied as children in our Sunday school classes. This is a story that really is is no surprise, or shouldn't be a surprise to any of us, but no doubt it is a story that is good to go back and reread and understand and know that and be amazed at how awesome our God is and how awesome that in His plan those things are done. So I want somebody would start reading, and I'm going to ask someone to read from the 1st through the 10th verse, please. Actually, the 1st through the end of the 11th verse.
Okay, I'll read.
Okay, thanks.
Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah and Ephesdamim, or whatever.
Sounds good.
And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him, and kill him, then shall ye be our servants, and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid.
Yeah, end of the first one.
Okay.
Jeff, we don't hear you. Are you on mute?
Hi, this is Jeff. Sorry, something happened to my phone.
Okay.
I called back in on my cell phone. I apologize. All of a sudden, I heard Cindy and then I lost Cindy, so I apologize again. Thank you for reading there, and definitely as you think about those verses, and as you think about those, really the story here is you know, I'll admit to each of you that I'm not I'm not a well-studied person, you know. I don't read through these verses and try to figure out what each of the words, the shekels of brass, or what that means, or how much that is, but really, amazed as I go through the story, and no doubt we understand that basically in this story we are introduced to who?
Goliath,
absolutely. Okay, and so I'm going to go back to my Bible school days, right, my Sunday school days, and no doubt, you know, that lesson is that Goliath, this huge man, this person who is one that should be feared, is one that was feared within this time and within this area. And so we know the story that's getting set up, and no doubt, you know, I'm not going to spoil the story if I tell you that, you know, now bring in little David, right? Bring in this young man, and no doubt, you know, the people of this time and the people are starting to see is that they have a fear. Saul is going and looking and saying, all right, who do we have? Who do we have to go fight this Goliath? Who do we have to go fight this big giant? So if someone would pick up there at the 12th verse, and I'm going to ask you to read the 12th through the 23rd.
I'll read again.
Okay, thanks.
Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among his men, for an old man, in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons, Jesse, went and followed Saul to battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, next unto Abinadab, and the 3rd Shema. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now thy brethren an ephah of his purged corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their place. Now Saul, and they and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded. And he came into the trench, and the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with him, behold, there came up a champion, and the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard it.
Okay, and so here we have a young man David, as he's brought around, and as he's coming to help his brothers. He's coming to help his brothers, really, to feed them. He's coming to help his brothers to refresh them, because his brothers are there with Saul, and that we know the battle is mounting. We know that clearly in the story, right, that we're following, is that clearly the time is being set up for something to happen. And we know that something great is going to happen, and because we know the story. So we're going to keep going, and I'm going to pick up reading there at the 24th verse. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free of Israel, free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is the uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the man same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So here we are, starting to set up, and we see the brothers, and I think probably, you know, the brothers' anger and the brothers' frustration is no doubt, you know, these are tense times for them. No doubt that they're in a battle, that they don't know what to do. They know that they're facing this man, this powerful man, who is huge, who is basically probably that, those, no different than some of the things we face and we challenge ourselves, is there are challenges in front of us sometimes that they may seem huge. They may be that big Goliath, but no doubt, the Lord can call out even to the youngest youth of our church, even to the youngest people that we know, and call out an awesome responsibility for them. I'm going to continue on there at the 32nd, or at the 33rd verse. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant, keep his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put in a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with the coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go, and he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. There's a whole other story, really, or a whole other lesson for us is that, no doubt, is that Saul is preparing David for a battle. No different in our lives that we continue to focus that time with the youth, as we continue to focus even our own lives, is that the Lord has prepared us for this battle that we're in, day out. The Lord has prepared us and has given us that preparing, but we have to prove it. We have to know that when those fiery darts are coming at us, that we have tested that. We know what to do. We know how to step. You know, if you think about if someone was throwing a punch at you, right? What, you'd stand there and take it? No, you know, you're gonna try to get out of the way. If we see those things in our lives, no doubt the Lord is preparing David. And David has said, you know what, I haven't tested this armor. I'm not prepared for this. But we're going to see what the Lord did prepare David for. And so we continue on there at the 40th verse. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked out about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy of a fair countenance. You know, so the picture in my mind is I see this big giant, this big, huge individual who looks down upon this little boy, you know, and probably laughs. And he does, and he talks about here, and we continue to read, is that, you know, the Philistine, he's laughing now at this point. He thinks it's crazy. Now here's this little kid that's coming out against me. And the Philistine said unto David, am I dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And that to me is a very, very powerful verse, is that we see that here is David, and he says, and here is David's armor. Here is the strength that David has. Here is the protection that David has. And he says, you know, and he says, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. But the stone sunk into his forehead and fell upon his face, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine in a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him.
but there was no sword in the hand of David.
And so really I rejoice in this story, and I really think often of this story is that here is this young man who was called by God. And I take a lot of joy and understanding and a lot of joy in seeing and clearly understanding that even the youngest around us, even the youngest people around us have a calling and that they have a responsibility. And no doubt that we call out to our Heavenly Father for the protection of our youth, for the protection of kids around us. But no doubt we see that the Lord has a calling even for them. And in this example of David clearly going out against Goliath. Turn with me to Proverbs, the 6th chapter. And in Proverbs, the 6th chapter is really the, really to me is that responsibility that we all have, whether it's the youth of our church or whether it's us as adults, is that responsibility that we have that clearly is that, yes, the Lord will be with us. Yes, the Lord will protect us. But no doubt we have a responsibility and we have some things that we need to do. So starting at Proverbs, the 6th chapter, I'm going to read from the 16th through the 20th verse. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. And that really, you know, is much like David, right? Children learn from their parents. David learned from his father early on. You know, David had a responsibility in the field, and that was keeping the sheep. And he learned that responsibility by watching his family, by watching his brothers, by watching his father. And that much like David then, in that learning and that experience that he had in his life, you know, no doubt, is that we are setting that example. We are setting that example to all those around us. And how many times have we heard testimonies, or how many times have we seen it in our own life, is that, you know, people learn and see, even sometimes really in our own, when we don't think that we're setting that example, when we don't think that we're influencing those around us by our actions and by things we do, we know we are. You know, we've all been amazed probably at different times in our lives when somebody would say, you know, you've set that example for me. How many times has somebody not said when we haven't been setting that example for those around us? Continue on, and I'm going to turn now to, I'm going to go to Colossians. And again, another one that I think is probably that responsibility for each of us. That responsibility for us is that, you know, in our hearts we hope and we pray that we can have that opportunity like David to be called upon by the Lord to go out and maybe fight that Goliath and to do those things in our lives that responsibility or that calling to the Lord that we would react and that we would act in the way that would be pleasing unto our Heavenly Father. But we have a responsibility, and kind of continuing off of that last few verses I read. So Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to start at the 8th verse. I'm going to read down through the 25th verse. So I have a few verses to read, so I'd ask you to bear with me, but I want to go through this that we can think about those responsibilities that we have. So starting at the 8th verse. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know, I really love that verse, and I love that verse where it says, and above all, put above all these things, put on charity. You know, and really all of our hopes are is that we can put on that charity. You know, when we see someone struggling, when we see and that we know that we have a responsibility, do we step out in faith and do those things? Do we offer that charity in our lives, that we are helping others, that we are doing those things that are, we are committed to our Heavenly Father? Continuing on there at the 15th verse, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey all the things your masters according to the flesh, not with eyes as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And really, again, I go back to that 23rd verse, and whatever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not unto men. You know, those things that we do in our lives, and, you know, and all too often, I can even see this in my own life, you know. There are things, and sometimes my wife will get after me sometimes, and you know, as especially this time of year, as we're preparing for camp and we're getting things ready, you know, I'm very fortunate because Michelle is extremely organized. And it drives Michelle crazy that when it comes to camp, I'm probably not as organized as I know I'm not as organized as I am at work. At work, I really work hard at being organized, at staying on top of things, and she'll often get after me and say, you know, how come you're not as organized at for camp as you are for work? And sometimes that's because, you know, I'm answering to somebody. I'm answering to somebody that's setting, you know, for me, my boss sets, 400, 500 miles away. And so I'm answering to somebody, but ultimately I'm held accountable for that which I do. Well, then, you know, it makes you think, you know, well, clearly, you know, we're answering to a much higher power in our spiritual lives. You know, we're answering to a much higher power, and we're held accountable for that. But maybe we're not getting that annual review. You know, maybe we're not getting that every 6-month review of sitting down and going through and being held accountable for that which we do. You know, we really do have that review with our Heavenly Father. It may not be that feedback that we get immediately, but no doubt, understanding that we are doing things for the will of the Lord, that is the review that we're under. Our performance review in our spiritual lives is that someday we're going to face our Heavenly Father, and we're going to be held accountable for that which we have done. And so the things that we do, in that 23rd verse, it says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Are we doing those things in our lives? And are we taking that responsibility? Much like David, right? David was called of God. David was called with the responsibility. Are we doing those things in our lives? I want to skip down, and I want to go to a verse, several verses in Ephesians, and those that have attended camp before, they know that this is one of my favorite verses. It's one that has been our theme a couple times at camp, but it is one that I hope that we can take, that we can do, and continue to prepare our lives, continue to do those things, that as we go out and fight those Goliaths, right, as the youth go out and fight those and face those challenges that we have in our lives, that we all have, and there's no doubt they're there, are we prepared? You know, those challenges that we face, I think we can accomplish anything. You know, we can tackle any hill, we can run up any mountain, we can accomplish any task if clearly we have the Lord with us. So I want to go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I'm sure I've probably read this before on here, and I can guarantee I'll read it again because I love it. I absolutely love these verses because I think it really, I'm a very simple person, And in my simple mind, I can see this. I can envision this. I can picture this as I read through Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And so I'm going to start at the 10th verse. So Ephesians 6, starting at the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And really, you know, I think about that. As I think about that story of David, no doubt, David was strong in the Lord. He didn't need the Saul's shield. He didn't need the sword. He was strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He had that strength and he had that power behind him. And in the 11th verse, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, so what is that armor? What is that armor that we're going to put on? You know, in David's case, you know, David didn't have to put on that actual shield. He had a shield with him. And so we're going to read what those are. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And really, it's I'm going to stop here, and I want to stop here for a reason, because I'm going to read one more verse. And the 18th verse is really the one I enjoy the most as I read this portion within Ephesians. But I'm gonna tell you skit that we saw at camp one year, and I don't know if I've shared this before, and if I have, I apologize. But you know, the skit, and I remember, and it was A.J. Adams was in this skit, and I remember that within this skit, you know, A.J. came out, and it was one of the first years that this was our theme of our camp, and A.J. came out, and I remember that A.J. went to battle with, I'll say it, Goliath. I don't think it was a Goliath, and maybe one of you remember this skit or may have been in this skit, but here was this young man, and this young man came out, and you know, and A.J. was just a little guy at the time, and thin and scrawny, and here comes this little thin and scrawny kid, and he comes out in front, and he's ready to face a big giant, to face a Goliath, in essence, and so he comes out, and at the first time, he went out, and you know, clearly he was going to lose. So he goes back in and he starts to put on the armor. And basically throughout this skit, at multiple times that AJ came walking out in front of the group, he had a different piece of the armor on. And by the time that he had each of the pieces of armor that we talk about here, the breastplate of righteousness, you know, the loins girt about with truth, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, taking on the shield of faith and taking on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. You know, here was this example of this young, scrawny little kid, and now all of a sudden he's got all of this armor on, and he's got every piece on, and his body is clearly protected. But this Goliath, or whoever this was that he was facing, still knocked him down. Even though he had all this armor on, he was still knocked down. And so he goes back. And there's nothing else to put on. And he comes back out in front of the group, and the skit continues, and he stops. And he kneels down, and he offers a prayer. And so in the 18th verse it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You know, really, the theme of our camp at that year was all about the breastplate of righteousness, the loins being girt about with truth. You know, the sword of the Spirit. Our theme was really focused on those items, that armor, you know, preparing the young people who were in attendance there, preparing them to go out into the world and go out and face those challenges that they have. And that skit, really, and my brother Buzz and I both commented to each other afterwards, is that 18th verse really stood out to us then. That 18th verse was really highlighted in our lives then, is that now that 18th verse really became the theme of what we had, is that no doubt in our lives we put on that whole armor of God. And my prayer is that each of us go from here and that we put on that whole armor of God, that we have that breastplate of righteousness, that we have that our loins girt about with truth, that we have every piece of that when we step out of our house every day. But none of it can work None of it can be perfect. None of it will protect us without that final 18th verse, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Are we praying always in our lives? You know, I don't care how old you are. I don't care at what point in yours or what stage in your life you are. But without prayer, we are nothing. Without prayer, we don't have that strength. Without prayer, we don't have that ability. Sure, there are a lot of people, you know, we look in our lives and there's a lot of athletes and there's a lot of people that have unbelievable strengths, that have unbelievable abilities, unbelievable talents. And clearly, you know, we know that there are people in this world that have unbelievable strengths that don't have a thought in their mind of our Heavenly Father. But clearly in our lives, we cannot be strong. We cannot do those things. You know, a lot of times in business we talk to people about don't just be good, but be great. What does it take to be great? What does it take to do great things within our professional lives? Well, I can guarantee each of us, my brothers and sisters, we cannot be great without that prayer. Without that prayer in our lives, we are absolutely nothing. I want to go to one more verse, and I want to turn to Mosiah, the second chapter. And within Mosiah, I think really this sums up, at least to me, it sums up to me what we are to do and the example to be set. So Mosiah, the second chapter, starting at the 21st verse. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye will not suffer your children if they go hungry or naked. Neither will ye suffer that they transgress the laws of God, and fight and quarrel one with another to serve the devil, which is the master of sin, or which is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being enemy to all righteousness. But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And that is my prayer, really, and it says the children, but it is really my prayer in our own lives, is that we will learn to love one another. We will learn to serve one another. That we will have that strength and that breastplate of righteousness and that sword of truth and our loins girt about, you know, that we will have those things in our lives. But clearly we will do it with charity. Clearly we will do it with that prayer, that we step out with that prayer always. I really want to close, and I want to go back to the song that we sang, and I want to read the verses, the first verse and the last verse. And to me, the song, We Have an Anchor, really stands out and really is one that I love, you know. And of course, living in Iowa, you know, we live right next to an ocean, of course. That was a joke, not really, you know. We're in the middle of nowhere here in Iowa. But you know, I love being out in the ocean. I love being out around water. And I think often of this song when I'm around the ocean. And a few weeks ago, I was in Australia, and I was the weekend that I had kind of laying over between a couple meetings that I had. I was right out on the ocean, and in the mornings I got to go out for a walk along the ocean. And this song is one that I just kept thinking of and kept going through in my mind as I was walking around there, and really humming it and thinking of the power and the strength of our Heavenly Father. But the verse, the song that we read is, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Well, I believe it can. I believe it can if we have on that whole armor of God, if we're doing those things that we're calling upon the Lord regularly, asking for his protection. When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? You know, I always have to be really careful, because as I travel different places, I probably don't tell my wife too much of the beauty that I get to see, because then it gets me in trouble. But I remember I was sitting there at lunch, and I was kind of looking out over the ocean where I had lunch, and it was just a beautiful afternoon. And as I sat there, I was thinking about the song because I saw this huge storm rolling in. And the storm really never made it onto shore, but you could see a way off and you could see the storms gathering. You know, then the storms gathering turned into what looked like a ferocious storm because you could see the lightning and you could see the wind was really picking up where we were at, and you would see the waves really picking up, and I thought about those ships that I would see just out, you know, along the way there. You know, are they tied down tight? Are they holding tight? You know, what's rolling in here to us? What are we going to face? You know, but clearly, you know, will your anchor drift or firm remain? And no doubt in our lives, you know, we could be that ship out there if that storm is rolling in. We could be that ship that's either just drifting to and fro and wherever the wind takes it. Or we can be that ship that has that anchor firm. And the refrain there, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. In the last verse, when our eyes behold through the gathering night, the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. You know, and that's really my prayer, is that no matter where we're at, no matter what we face, no matter what we're doing, no matter where in this virtual service, no matter where we sit, you know, that clearly we are bonded together, and that clearly we have that grounding, that strengthening from our Heavenly Father, but it takes action on our part. It takes things that we have to do, and we have to put on that armor ourselves, right? My mom can't do it for me. I can't do it for my kids. But that clearly we put on that anchor. We put on that breastplate. We put on that sword. We put on those things. But clearly what I can help my children with, and what I can really, really challenge them to do, is that are we praying? Are we kneeling down in prayer? And that clearly, by kneeling down in that prayer, we have that anchor. You know, we have an anchor. And clearly that anchor is with our Heavenly Father. So my prayer is that we go from here and that we continue to be, I would hope, refreshed and hopefully renewed in that anchor that we have, that we can continue to call upon the Lord and draw upon that strength that He gives us. My prayer is for each of you. Thank you.